WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Film critic David Edelstein has a review of the new documentary Project NIMH, directed by James Marsh, who made Men on Wire. NIMH tells the story of what happened to a chimp raised by humans and taught to communicate.
In the early 1970s, Columbia psychology professor Herbert Terrace speculated that if a chimpanzee were raised like a human child in a human home and taught sign language, because chimps don't have the physiological apparatus for human speech, then a door would open up to the animal mind. We'd learn what animals think and feel, perhaps even what they dream. I wouldn't be surprised if he envisioned a best-selling chimp pen novel, or at least a review of a Tarzan movie. Director James Marsh recounts Terrace's high hopes and where they led in his brilliant documentary Project NIMH. It turns out what happened to Terrace's chimp subject, NIMH, also known as NIMH Chimpsky, was the stuff of nightmares, or a sick farce. From the start, when we hear how NIMH is plucked from his shrieking mother's arms at a research facility, he's more to us than a project. He has complicated thoughts and emotions. He's practically human. No, hold on, he's not. And that's a problem, too. What people in the film project on this project says more about them than it does about poor, confused NIMH. Get this. His first human mother, Stephanie Lafarge, a former student and lover of Terrace's, breastfed NIMH, let him puff on a joint, and encouraged his PG-13 explorations of her body as he began puberty. She also worried, as hippie types tended to do, that NIMH's developing language would constrain his animal nature, an idea that made me slap my forehead, as that's the whole point of the experiment. NIMH was actually learning to sign, but there wasn't a lot of formal, organized research going on. So Terrace brought in a nice, pretty grad student who bonded with NIMH and eventually became his full-time caretaker, and they left the Lafarges for a roomy Riverdale house owned by Columbia. But that student ended up sleeping with Terrace and then fleeing the project, and NIMH had to bond with another woman, this time nearly biting off half her face and causing her to flee. NIMH did, however, frantically sign, "I'm sorry," as she bled. After that, NIMH was lucky enough to get researcher Bob Ingersoll, an enthusiastic Grateful Deadhead who stuck around.
Chimps aren't humans. You have to kind of understand chimps to be able to understand how to work with them and be with them. I took them out on walks. I didn't bring food. I didn't do the kind of things that would interrupt the relationship or the building of the relationship. He grows on you quick. He was so charming. I mean, it didn't occur to me that animals had that kind of personality like ours.
As he proved in Man on Wire, Marsh can stylize his documentaries in ways that only intensify the raw emotions. Project NIMH is an artful weave of interviews and reenactments and lots of period footage, because much of what surrounded NIMH was deemed momentous. He was even on the cover in 1975 of New York Magazine under the headline, "First Message from the Planet of the Apes." Each interview subject sits in a chair and recalls his or her interactions with NIMH. And then, when they speak of leaving NIMH's life, the camera travels away from them, often in a way that breaks your heart. In the second half of Project NIMH, Terrace recalls his disappointment when he realized that NIMH wasn't going to be the Noam Chomsky of chimps and lost interest, despite the fact that NIMH had learned 125 signs. He didn't spend time playing with NIMH. He didn't see the NIMH that Bob Ingersoll saw.
I didn't care about the language argument after a while. It didn't matter to me. He might not have had sentences or grammar, but there's no question that there was communication going on, and I saw it clearly. He talked about the trees, the berries that he found. He liked to play. Favorite song, play.
Karas lost his funding along with his interest, and the odyssey that follows the end of the experiment is devastatingly sad. While it's tempting to label Herb Karas the villain in Project NIMH, no one in this sorry saga is totally bad or good. Karas was right. NIMH opened a door, but into the human, not animal mind. And we can be a crazy species.
David Edelstein is film critic for New York Magazine. You can download podcasts of our show on our website, freshair.npr.org.